story recently about this guy who had always wanted a parrot. You know, like the things that talk, birds that talk. He had always wanted one to like talk to him. So he goes into this pet store, and he asked the guy if he had any parrots, and he did. He bought it, bought a cage, took it home, was really excited. And a few days later, he walked back into the pet store, looking pretty dejected. So I've got a problem. I've got a problem here. The pet owner looked at him and said, well, what in the world is going on? He said, my parrot hasn't said anything. Not a thing. And the pet store owner just looked at him, really confused. He said, you mean to tell me that you got that bird home, he swung on his little swing, hopped off the swing, and he didn't say anything? The guy said, swing? You didn't tell me about a swing? He said, you have them here? Yeah, right over there. $14.99. I'll take it. So he gets the little swing, goes home, puts it in the cage. A few days later, comes back to the pet store, looking even more dejected this time. What's going on? How are you? Bird still hasn't said anything. Nothing. Pet store owner said, well, what in the world? You mean to tell me that that little bird swung on that little swing, hopped off that swing, looked in the mirror, saw himself, and didn't say anything? The guy said, mirror? I didn't know the parrot needed a mirror. You got them? Sure do. $9.99. They're right over there on aisle two. I'll take it. Goes home, puts the little mirror on the side of the cage, waits. A few days later, comes back into the pet store. Pet store owner says, how are you, man? He said, this is terrible. This is absolutely terrible. This bird, I've had him a week, he has absolutely said nothing. Pet store owner looked at him and said, what in the world? He said, you mean to tell me but that parrot swung on that little swing, hopped off the swing, looked himself in the mirror, ran up and down the ladder, rang the bell, and he still didn't say anything. The guy said, ladder and bell? I had no clue. You got them? Sure do. $30 as a package. I'll take it. Takes it home. Puts up the ladder, puts up the bell. A few days later, comes back in. Had a smug look on his face. Pet store owner says, how are you, man? He said, you'll be happy to know the bird said something. He said, he did. What did he say? He said, he looked me square in the eyes and said, you mean to tell me that that store doesn't sell bird seed? And he fell over dead. Here's the deal. It's a funny story, and you can laugh at it. It's kind of a stupid story, and it's not inspired in any way by God. But let me tell you this. A lot of times with our lives, we can get so caught up in the bells and the whistles, in the ladders, and in the mirrors, and in the little swings, that we neglect doing what we need to do to survive. As individuals, we can do this, and as a church, we can do this. We can get so caught up and providing all the superfluous stuff that we don't do the main thing. And if you don't do the main thing, guess what? You die. So, that is the purpose of the series that we're in, Align. What we are doing is not saying that we have some brand new vision for the church. No, it's not it at all. There is no new vision for the church. The only vision that we have for the church is the one that God has always had for the church that's clearly outlined in the Word of God. But what we're trying to do is say, hey, guys, let's focus. You need to focus as an individual, and we need to focus as a church to make sure that we're eating bird seed. That we're doing what God has asked us to do. That we're thriving. Y'all, there are a lot of directions that you could go as an individual and a lot of directions that we could go as a church. We could try all kinds of stuff to bring people in, and some of them would probably be successful. You could try all kinds of stuff in your life to do what you think is right, and some of it might be successful, but you know what? We absolutely fail, and we will see no lasting eternal result if you're not doing what God has asked you to do, and if we as a church are not doing what God has asked us to do, vision is always needed to bring us back into alignment with God. Y'all agree? There's never, without a vision, people perish. There is never a time that vision is not needed. We constantly have to put in front of us what God wants from us and what God has asked from us, the desires that God has for us, so that we can bring ourselves in alignment with Him. Remember I said last week, this is not about God coming to align to whatever we want. This is about us seeking what He wants, and we submit to Him. And this is true in your life, this is true in the life of our church. And so, thus we continue to embark on. Now last week, we kind of laid the framework for the overarching vision of the church in this series. And if you weren't here last week, you can go and listen online. It's a pretty cool resource, and I encourage you to do that. But one thing that I failed to mention last week was these four words that you see up here. Love, liberate, lead, and launch. What in the world are these four words? Just a new marketing scheme? Absolutely not. Although it is pretty cool. They all start with L. These four words, though, as a staff, Mickey, Robbie, and I really prayed through together. We talked about the need for vision, articulation of vision. We so desire to lead you and to lead our church and to right alignment with God. But these four words, I can tell you with absolute confidence, express what God desires from us as a church. We are to be a church that is full of love, love for God and love for people. We are going to be a church who loves and longs to see people liberated by the Spirit of God, liberated spiritually. Coming from darkness into light, the old kingdom into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Liberated in many other ways in life. Coming out of addictions, coming out of oppressions, coming out of poverty. Some going into poverty might be actually the liberation. But seeing people free to love God and to live for God and to serve God and to see His blessing. We're going to be a church that loves to lead people into deeper relationship with Christ. Salvation is not about a one-time decision and then you just go live like you want. It is about a constant pursuit of Jesus because He is everything. And if you're not growing in relationship with Christ, then you are not following Him. We are going to grow people to love Christ, to make disciples. That's the command. We're going to make disciples. And finally, we're going to be a launching church. Think of us as a launching pad where we love to see people connected to the purpose of God and sent from Memphis to other parts of this country and to all over the world so that everyone everywhere might know Jesus. Amen? Some of you guys are only here for a few years, and I believe God's brought you to Memphis to prepare you to go somewhere else. It's just how He works here in this community. And if you're not embracing that vision of launch, then you'll just go somewhere else and you'll have no purpose, no mission, no understanding of what God actually wants to do for you. So these four things, these are the pillars that are going to hold up and ensure that we align as a church to God's Word. And they're not only for us as a church, they're for you as an individual. So what we're going to do the next 4 weeks is walk through each of these pillars, one at a time. And the first one today is love, which is a great little word that we actually sometimes have no clue what it represents. So love. Acts chapter 2. You got your Bibles? Acts chapter 2. Who had a chance to read Acts 2 this week? Okay, let's just see. On a show of hands, who got to read it, Acts 2 this week? Awesome! Well, you get nothing because you did, but I encourage you guys, we do have a reading schedule for the next 4 weeks, and if you'd like to, you can pick it up on the back table before you go and read ahead, because we're covering such large chunks of Scripture. You need to know this about how I'm teaching in Acts. I had somebody ask me last week, they said, how are we doing this in Acts? It doesn't seem like as in-depth as you normally do. I mean, normally I take 3 weeks for one verse, and last week we did a whole chapter. Well, I would probably teach through Acts. If I was teaching through the book itself, I would teach through it much slower and probably differently. What I'm trying to do is allow you to read through Acts, allow you to study Acts, and I am just kind of taking the 30,000 feet view and saying, this is what we see as we study the early church. It is our only model for how church is to be done. And so I'm just pulling back and taking the big themes as we've covered large chunks of scripture at a time and saying, here are the highlights. Love, liberate, lead, launch. You see it here in the early church. Now later I hope to go back and teach, maybe this year, maybe next year, teach through Acts systematically. But hopefully that answered your question. But Acts chapter 2, we're going to look at it this week. But this is our mission statement for love. If you'll put it on the screen. Everybody read this with me. Love. God's presence in our lives brings deep satisfaction to our hearts that overflows in joyful worship and genuine love toward others. All right, turn to a partner and say that with your partner just real quick. I know you're not supposed to do this in the middle of sermons, but you can. All right, everybody got it? This is also in the packets that you received last week, and so you can look over this later. We're going to unpack the statement here. Now, this is not just a statement that we pulled out of thin air. And the way that vision goes, you don't just say, well, this is what I feel, this is what we think. No, you get it from God's words. So we're going to unpack this today from chapter 2 of Acts. But if you go to the next slide, the first part of the statement says this. God's presence in our lives brings deep satisfaction to our hearts. Amen. God's presence in our lives brings deep satisfaction to our hearts. This is what we were talking about earlier. You cannot just create a life of love. You can't just do that. If you only try to do this, the second two parts of these things, if you go about joy, try to go about joyful worship and try to go about genuine love toward others, and you neglect the first half of this, you can't do it. Because what I'm trying to say is the foundation, what the Word says, the foundation of our joyful worship and of our genuine love is your satisfaction in God. Your satisfaction in the love of God through Christ for you. If you have never experienced the love of God, you will never experience joyful worship in a genuine way. And you will never genuinely love people the way that God wants you to love people. You might look like you are. You could raise your hand. You could shake other people's hands. You could go to a small group. But let me tell you, it will be empty. It will be in vain. Because the only way to genuinely worship God and genuinely love others is to have God's love in you as the motivator and the foundation and the instigator of it all. We see this in Acts chapter 2, the first few verses. What do you see? Those who read it this week probably know exactly what we're talking about. Jesus had promised in chapter 1, verse 8, that the church would receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they would be his witnesses into Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And look at chapter 2, verse 1. The day of Pentecost arrived. They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What's happening? What's happening here in Acts chapter 2? The people that had walked with Jesus, who knew his character, who had received his promises, who had believed his promises, who were waiting on those promises, suddenly found God fulfilling those promises by the giving of his Spirit. They are suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is an undeniable presence of God in that place. And I'm not going to get in later. If you want to talk to me about the wind and the fire and the tongues, let's talk about it. But right now, I just want you to realize this. There was an undeniable presence of the Spirit of God in that place. And when I talk about the Spirit of God, I'm not talking about some mystical entity out here that nobody knows anything about. The Spirit of God is God Himself. It is God Himself who infills and empowers and emboldens His people right now. The foundation for everything that would happen in the life of the early church was that they were filled with the fullness of God. Have you ever been filled with God? This is the foundation for a life lived with Jesus. It's not walking down an aisle, checking off a card, going through the mechanics of baptism. None of that saves. None of it saves. And there are people who think they're saved today, but they're not saved because they equate it to something they have done in their willpower. That is not salvation. Salvation is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God into a life. It's making death into life. It's changing old into new. It's a new creation in Christ. There's a birth, just like a mama gives birth. I don't want to visualize that too much. That would be awkward. But some of you are doctors, and you've seen live birth. It's just like there is a distinct moment of birth and a cry from the baby. There is a distinct moment of birth into Christ. And there is a cry of the new creation. Have you ever truly experienced the presence of God? Are you experiencing the presence of God? I told you last week, being filled with the Spirit is not a once for all event, but it's a constant experience for the true believer. We are filled up to the presence of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is what it says. Do you experience God in a real way? I mean that. Do you actually know that Christ loves you and gave Himself for you? Can you say with confidence, my life is in Christ and His life is in me? It is a real experience in my life. Is that a present experience for you? A daily thing where you are sure and confident of the love that God has for you? That you are filled with His Spirit and with His presence? The rest of what I'm going to say today is absolutely useless to you if you have never known God in the way that He wants to know you. How does that happen? You'll go to the next slide. Charts don't do this justice because you start relying on the chart. So I hate that you put this up here. But this is in reality kind of what's happening. This is what's happening in the early church in this room. They know God's character and they realize their own need. And they trust, they see God's promises and they trust them and they wait on them and they treasure His person. They wait on God's action and they receive from God's hand, and it just goes back into knowing God's character, knowing their need, trusting His promises, knowing them, waiting on His Spirit, receiving from His hand and knowing His character. And it just, this is the life of faith. It's the way that it begins and it's the way that it continues. Repentance and belief and obedience. Repentance and belief and obedience and faith. Oh, faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. So often we try to go about it our own way, but the reality of the Christian life is it is God infilling us. Us receiving from Him, believing and receiving and believing and receiving. So, we're going to be a church that always talks about the reality that God wants to satisfy your heart with His Spirit, with His presence. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you say that? As a deer pants for water, oh God, my soul pants for You, the living God. I hope in You. I earnestly seek You. Is that a reality in your life? God's presence brings full satisfaction. All right, let's go on. Continue. You can get this online. These are all corroborating verses that you can go look at later. You can continue. Two more. Here's the reality. That when God's presence brings deep satisfaction to your heart, two things happen. Alright? Anybody ever wondered, do I really, you might be sitting here asking the question, have I ever been filled with God's presence? You want to know how you can know? Does your life reflect joyful worship? And does your life reflect genuine love toward others? Because every time God's presence fills a person, it results in joyful worship and genuine love for others. I'm going to show you. You cannot have the presence of God if in your life you don't have joyful worship and in your life you don't have genuine love. That is what God's love does in you. You can't have one without the other. So let's unpack this. In Acts 2, what do we see happening after they were filled with the presence of God? Look at verse 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not these, all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native tongue? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We all hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, and they said to one another, "What does this mean?" And others were mocking and saying they were filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, around 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And he continues, and you can go read the rest of the sermon if you haven't read it this week, but Peter continues boldly and confidently, filled with the Spirit of God. Here's a guy who was a fisherman, who was a mess up, who had just denied Jesus to his face and cowered it in shame. And look at the turn when the Spirit of God fills him. Look at the prophecy he's declaring and the confidence that he has. And he stands up and he talks about Jesus. And he says, "Jesus is the way of salvation. God has done this. God has put him forward for the salvation of sinners." And he gets done preaching, and what happens? Verse 37 says, "They heard this, and they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself.' With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Here's the reality. When God's presence fills a person, fills a church, fills you, every single time, there will be response. And I don't just mean any kind of response. I mean genuine, heartfelt, rooted, joyful response. Every time God reveals himself and really shows himself to you, you will respond. When a Spirit of God fills a man, there's a response, there's an outcome, there's something that happens that's visible. And what happens here? You see prayer, you see praise, you see witness, you see preaching, you see salvation, you see encouragement, you see conviction. Y'all see that? When the Spirit of God fills a man, fills a church, there's always response. And that response looks like reflecting back to God the radiance of his worth. What we call worship. So love This idea of love, it starts with the love of God toward us, and it results in our response back to God. Let me show you this. Anybody ever seen Extreme Home Makeover? I like this show. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ty, I think, is the guy who's like on the show. What's the best part of the show? The reveal, right? Move that bus, right? There's something intrinsic about human nature that every time they move the bus, it's some monstrosity of a house, and it's just like amazing, and I'm crying, and it's like, oh. But when there's a reveal, right? Reveal, move that bus, and the bus moves, and there's revelation of what's there. What do you see happen every time with that family? Shock, amazement, awe, tears. I mean, look at this family. This is taken from the show. Just absolute joy. You see all kinds of different response. When there is revelation, there is response. Go to the next one. This is Michelle and I. This is our wedding day. And we did our reveal. Y'all know what the reveal is on the wedding day. Jessica and Brandon. Where are they? There's Brandon. Jessica's outside.
You know. Hey, good.
They just got engaged this week. And so we're really excited. Yeah. So you'll be trying to figure this out later. But in this moment, this is the reveal. And so I haven't seen her yet. Right? I'm standing there waiting. I know she's going to be coming up. The photographer is taking up. We got these really cool shots. So here she is, about to come up. And I am going to behold my bride. Poor thing for her. She's going to behold me. But what happens when she gets up to my vision? The next photo that you see. My response was just like, are you kidding me? God, you're awesome. I mean, it was just delight and amazement and just wonder at this beautiful woman who I have the privilege of walking in life with. When there's a revelation, when there's a reveal, there is a response. I didn't have to calculate that moment. It was no act of willpower. It just happened. It just came. Reveal, response. You see this in the Bible. Abraham, the next slide. God showing up to Abraham. Totally undeserved, unmerited. Nothing in Abraham expected this or deserved this. But God came to Abraham and brought his promises, revealed his character, and showed his plan. And what happens? The Bible says there in Genesis 12 that Abraham built an altar to the Lord. He fell down on his knees. Oh God, I'm unworthy, and I thank you. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your kindness. How could this be for a servant like me? There is a reveal and there is a response. And this happens today. Next slide. Every time that God fills a man, shows up in the Word, every time that there is revelation, there is response. And it's not a calculated thing. It's not an act of willpower. You know the one thing about worship that's a little bit scary? Worship is not an act of willpower. Worship comes from the heart. Worship comes from new creation. Jesus said about a group of religious people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can worship with your lips, you can worship with your hands, but if your heart is not responding to the wonder of God, you haven't worshipped. What is response? What are you talking about, Barrett? What kind of response does God look for? I don't know. Sometimes for me it's fear. Just reading a verse, be still and know that I am God. I can just, in the morning when I have my quiet time, I get to a verse like that, and I just stop, and I'm just in awe, and I just fear. Sometimes response looks like amazing gratitude. Sometimes it looks like confession. Sometimes it looks like praise. Sometimes it looks like awe and wonder. Sometimes it looks like longing. Sometimes it looks like crying. Sometimes it looks like my hands going up. It's not about necessarily the outward manifestation. It's about your heart. Is your heart responding to God? And I'm telling you, I tell you, we are going to be a church that leads people to respond to God. But I can't do that. The Holy Spirit must do that when He fills each of you and He fills me. Y'all see that? If this is not happening in your life, if there is no genuine response, if your life is not a life of worship, guess what? It likely means that you aren't being revealed the person of God. And for some of you, it could mean that you have never been revealed the person of God. And for others, it could mean that you have just simply walked away and turned your back on the revelation that God desires to bring you through His Word and His Spirit. Because He says, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart. The Word is our source of revelation. But it's not just the words on this page, the black and white little things that are laying there. It's the Holy Spirit that makes this alive in your heart. If you are not experiencing joyful worship, you are not seeing God. Because when you see God, you respond. And it's not calculated, it just overflows. Your life overflows with praise. Amen? And the other thing is, worship is about real life. This is not about Sunday morning for an hour and a half. That is not what God has intended for worship. Yes, corporate worship has a place. But worship happens in life. In real life. Think about the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. Remember her? She's struggling in adultery. She's got real problems. She's a social outcast. And what topic does Jesus bring up with her? Worship. He wants to make a worshiper out of her. This is real life. Worship doesn't happen on Sunday mornings. If that's how you define it, you're defining it wrong. Worship should happen every day of your week. It should happen at multiple points in your day. It should also just be happening in everything that you do. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. We should constantly be awed by His presence, awed by His Word. We should be reflecting on His character and be amazed by His grace. It should be happening every day. And if you're not spending time in the Word every day, you're likely not seeing revelation. For most of us, we sit down and pray. I know how it was because I used to be like this. I'd get up in the morning and I'd just start praying. Oh, God, good morning. Love you, God. Thank you for this day. And, you know, drifting off. My mind's wandering. I start thinking about things I've got to do. What I realize is the better thing to do is just go ahead and plop down in the Word. If you're waiting for revelation just to come to you outside of this, it's probably not going to come, because this is God's revelation. You need to be spending daily time in the Word of God. If you're not responding in a life of worship, you're probably not spending time in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Go and say, God, I wait on you. I ask that your Spirit make this real to me, and I want to respond in a life of worship. It should be happening on a personal level. It should be happening on a family level if you're married or dating or engaged, Brandon. This should be happening in your home. If you have kids, Mickey, Carrie, Clint, you should be spending family time in the Word. Family time in worship. You, men, are the leaders of your homes. Lead your family in worship. And then come and be a part of church. We are a church that loves to worship. It should be happening at all three levels. Let me just ask you, does your life reflect a life of worship? I'm not talking about what comes out of your mouth. I'm talking about a heart that is responding to the wonder of God. When God fills you, there is a response. We are to be lovers of God. It's five after, and I haven't even begun to talk about how we are to love others. So for your sake, what I'm going to do is, we're going to talk about it next week. Because I believe right now that if I move on to a different topic, you won't respond to what God just revealed to you here. And we're not pressed by anybody's timetable. We just follow God. And I feel God leading us to respond. So what I want to ask, there are people in this room right now, I feel from God, that need to get right in this area of worship. You might be in a place today where you have to say, I don't know if I have ever been filled with the Spirit of God because I have never tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I can't honestly say that today. You might be in that place where you say, I can't say that I've ever felt genuine affection for God. Let me just tell you, I want to talk to you. Jesus has come to make you new, to give you those desires. Everybody just focus on me. They're going to do their thing. Just listen. This is a real deal. If God has not made you alive into His Spirit, you are walking toward hell. You're walking toward danger. You must be alive in God. Left to ourselves, we're just old creations. We're going to follow the way of sin by our own choosing. We have separated ourselves from God, and that's why there has to be the cross of Christ.
That's right.
Because if it weren't for Him, there would be nothing for us. He took the sin from us, and He gave us His righteousness. There is a great exchange, but if that has not happened by the Spirit of God in your life to make you new, to make you treasure Him, oh, come talk to me. Believe and receive. For all who did believe and receive, He gave them the right to become children of God. For most of the rest of us, I think we just need to spend time praying about this reality of worship. Reveal and response. When's the last time you felt awe for God? Happiness for God? Joy in His salvation? Wonder at His person? When's the last time that you just overflowed in thanks and praise and stood fearful before His presence and honestly confessed your sin and was broken over it? If there's no response, there's likely because you've neglected His revelation. And if you aren't walking in response to God, this is your time to get right. There are pillows up here. Just come and just get right with God today. Repent. He will restore you. Whoever confesses their sin, He is faithful and just to forgive and to bring cleansing. I pray that we would be a church that is dedicated to responding to God. He is worth our all. Amen?
That's right.
So whatever decision you need to make, make it now. And I pray for you that you would be a passionate worshiper with your life.